The Old Testament reading for the Festival of the Holy Trinity is from Genesis chapters 1 and 2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning the first day. And God said, "Let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." And God made the expanse and separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse. And it was so. And God called the expanse heaven. And there was evening and there was morning the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the earth be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And God saw that it was good, and God said, "Let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind on the earth." And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed according to their own kinds, and trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind. And God saw that it was good, and there was evening, and there was morning the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth." And it was so. And God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night, and the stars. And God set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good, and there was evening and there was morning the fourth day. And God said, "Let the waters swarm with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the heavens." So God created the great sea creatures and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarm according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good, and God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the skies, and let birds multiply on the earth." And there was evening, and there was morning the fifth day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds, livestock and creeping things, and beasts of the earth according to their kinds." And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth according to their kinds, and the livestock according to their kinds, and everything that creeps on the ground according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, "Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the hosts of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created. This is the word of the Lord. Second reading is from Acts chapter 2. Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know, this Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades, or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David, that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Being therefore a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and all of that we are all witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 28th chapter. These words serve as our sermon text. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be richly multiplied unto each one of you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. What comes to mind when you think of the word mission? Some of you probably have to be at least as old as I am. Remember the TV series Mission Impossible, which was later made into 6 very successful movies. For others, the word may bring to mind a military action. Still others of you may think of overseas mission work that the church engages in. But do we often think about our own neighborhoods, the places where we live and where we work and where we interact with people? Christ Jesus has commissioned his church, and he mobilizes each one of us to go and make disciples of all nations, starting right where we live. On this Sunday of the Holy Trinity, as we look at the gospel lesson from Matthew 28, we address the theme, the Great Commission and the Great Command go hand in hand. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, Jesus says in this text that we are to go and make disciples, which is our first point. There was another very popular TV series called MASH, and you can still watch it many times a day. And of course, as you probably have all seen it, it portrayed the Korean War. And it kind of showed how close to the front lines the treatment of the wounded took place. And MASH stands for Mobile Army Surgical Hospital. And I'm told that MASH units were started because too many wounded were being lost between the front lines and hospitals, which were many miles down the road. So the Army took the hospitals as close to the front as they could. Soldiers were treated and stabilized and sent further back down the road for follow-up treatment. The key word in MASH was mobile. Jesus says to his church, get mobile. Go and make disciples. Wherever there are people who have not been baptized or who have not heard about Christ Jesus, that is to whom we are sent. I looked it up and it's not available on my website that I go to for 2020, so I'll have to revert back to the 2010 census. Back in 2010, 43% of Linn County was unchurched. Now, if you do the math, according to, I looked it up, there are about 229,000 people that live in Linn County. 43% of that is 98,000 people. That's our mission field. And we're also sent to the absent saints of Zion Lutheran Church. Jesus said in Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest parts of the earth. The plan was to begin at home and then go forth from there. It's no different today. You go forth from the divine service into your Jerusalem. But we never dare lose fact or sight of the fact that outreach always needs to be connected to an altar and a pulpit of a local congregation. People need to be brought in and connected to the means of grace. And we simply go forth proclaiming repentance for the forgiveness of sins in his name. Did you know we live in the third largest mission field in the world? 55% of our nation is unchurched. You may be asking yourself, well, where do I fit in? You don't need the gift of evangelist. You can simply invite and bring people here to Zion Lutheran Church. Secondly, we look at the relationship between the Great Commission and the Great Command. With a MASH unit, the Army took the hospital to the wounded. To whom would God have you carry the gospel to? Whom do you know who is downtrodden, wounded by their sins, maybe living under the guilt of broken relationships? Whom do you know who needs to hear the good news about Jesus Christ. I think sometimes the church has lost contact with this fact. Anyone who is living apart from the Savior Jesus Christ is on the way to hell. Those people like us, the great command part of my theme is centered in Jesus' words, simply to love your neighbor as yourself. God, move us to care enough about those who don't know Jesus to talk to them about Jesus, maybe to invite and bring them here to Zion. You see, the church is a hospital for sinners. That's why we're all here. We who enter here have nothing to bring to God other than our own worthless deeds. We come here to this hospital to receive again and again God's rich, complete, and full forgiveness of all of our sins. That is what the cross of Jesus Christ is all about. God condemning his Son for our sins in our place. It is all done. Sin is paid for. Death is conquered. The devil is defeated. Christ Jesus laid down his life for us. Christ Jesus is the atoning sacrifice for all sins, yours and mine included. Hear how St. Paul put it. He said, for while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. We began the divine service today with the words of the invocation, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That is a reminder and a continuation of our baptism. It marks God's presence, the Holy Trinity, with us. For in our baptism, we died with Christ so that we also live with Christ. We rejoice that our sins are forgiven in the absolution. We rejoice that we receive Christ's body and blood in the Lord's Supper for the forgiveness of sins each time it is offered to us. Jesus Christ is the answer for our sins and for the sins of all people. The church hospital is open for repentant sinners. But how will people enter here unless someone invites them and in many cases takes the extra step and brings them with them? Well, pastors are called and ordained to publicly preach, teach, and administer the sacraments. All of God's people have the privilege to reach out in love to those who are without Christ Jesus. So who is our neighbor? Well, it's just not the person next door. But I believe we have a greater impact with those with whom we have ongoing relationships. Maybe that's people that you interact with every day at work, if you're still in the workforce. Or if you're retired, the people you have coffee with every Friday morning, or other places that you gather with people. It has been said that every Christian knows at least 7 to 8 people who have never been baptized or taught the gospel of Christ Jesus. Or to put it another way, who are on the way to hell. Learning to love flows from the cross of Christ Jesus. For the cross is the personification of God's love for the entire world. As we look upon the cross, we can see nothing other than our own depravity. And we must be able to say, Jesus is on the cross because of my sins. Jesus is on the cross because of me. I put him there. I nailed him to the cross. John wrote, and he himself is the payment for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. Isaiah says of Jesus, but he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Our prayer life, and that's important, needs to include petitions for those around us who are in need, for those with whom we are going to talk to about Jesus. You know, there are people around us who always need God's love in Christ Jesus. People who are going through major changes in life. Maybe it's a crisis of some sort, or even a blessing. Maybe it's a recent move. Maybe just getting married and adjusting to that. The birth of a child. A serious illness. A change in job status. And I had someone recently tell me about that and the anxiety it brought into her life. Or maybe it's the death of a loved one. Any one of those scenarios with people we engage with, they can use our spiritual care and support. And above all, the healing word of the gospel. For Jesus says to you and me, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Our Lord Jesus strengthens us for the privilege of telling others about Jesus. And as John so clearly said in his first epistle, and the witness is this, that God has given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, in order that you may know that you have eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen.